Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, October 5th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by CJ. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. Today's topic is a shining star of retail. It's Shein. Joining us today is senior analyst Skye Canavas. Welcome back, Skye.
Hi, Sarah. It's great to be back.
Also here with us today is principal analyst Jasmine Enberg. Hey, Jasmine.
Hey, Sarah. Hey, everyone.
All right, let's jump into it. We're going to get started with our first segment, News and Reviews, where I give the news and our guests tell me their reviews. Today's headline is a September 26th story by CNN Business titled, Amazon puts a second Prime Day sale on the calendar. That's right, it's Prime Day 2, Return of the Prime Day. Amazon will have a Prime Early Access sale, that's what they're calling it, on October 11th and 12th, joining the likes of Target and Walmart and other retailers in getting a jump start on the holidays. I know both of you saw this coming, but now Prime Day 2.0 is on its way officially. Skye, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is...
So I think that also makes it official that retail has a new holiday calendar, and that starts in October. Walmart and Target are also running early promotions this month, and now others are going to be under pressure to get their holiday marketing started early, even though well before Halloween. And to be sure, there will still be last-minute shoppers and people who maybe can't afford to shop this early, especially this year. But I think bigger picture, this will be one of the lasting pandemic impacts because we've seen over the past 2 years, more of the holiday shopping took place online than ever. And last year, we had supply chain uncertainty leading people to shop earlier. This year, it's really retailers dealing with a lot of excess inventory that they want to move well before the traditional holiday shopping season would have started around Black Friday. And consumers might also be looking to spread out their spending a bit, especially given the rising prices due to inflation. Those who can afford to do so may want to lock in deals early. They can always return goods or get price adjustments under the very generous policies that retailers are offering now.
Sure. Okay, so we have a new holiday calendar, and it's earlier than ever. Jasmine, your review of this headline in 60 seconds is...
So as someone who covers the retail space primarily where it intersects with social media, I think one thing that really stuck out to me here was that there hasn't been any mention of live shopping for this Prime Day. Mm. In previous years, Amazon really had used Prime Day to tout Amazon Live, and the July event it had included live streams with celebrities and with influencers. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the future of live stream shopping in the US recently. Facebook closed down or is closing down its live shopping arm in October, and TikTok is reportedly abandoning plans to expand into the US. So it's possible that live shopping isn't really working for Amazon either.
Yeah, it really seems like live shopping is just not picking up with American consumers or US consumers. All right, so live shopping is not being emphasized and holidays are moving earlier than ever. I am wondering when I can expect to start seeing Santa Claus appear in US stores next year. Wondering if it's going to hit September and August ever.
I saw a Christmas tree in Costco already.
Really? I saw an article about, we should not get too into this. I saw an article that Costco has overflow of Christmas trees from last year due to supply chain issues. So they're thawing them all. They're quite literally coming out of the deep freezer. Are you guys real tree people or fake tree people?
Real tree. Always a real tree.
Team real tree, 100%. If it's a tiny, I get tiny potted trees here because I feel like I want to keep them. I mean, they always die within like 6 months, but hey, at least it's not more plastic.
Gotcha. Okay, now it's time for our next segment, Retail Me This, Retail Me That, where we discuss an interesting retail topic. Today's topic is Chinese fast fashion giant and relative newcomer Shein. If you haven't heard of Shein, you're probably not on TikTok. The company's risen to prominence among young shoppers by selling $4 crop tops and products like that. Skye, last week you referred to Shein as Zara and H&M on steroids. Can you elaborate on how Shein's gotten so big so fast?
Sure. So Shein has really harnessed what I think is the biggest advantage of being an on-the-ground Chinese company, which is it has direct access to the vast manufacturing base of thousands of suppliers. And it's married that with technology to speed up the whole process of design and manufacturing. So Shein is really a brand, and it outsources so much of its production and even the design to suppliers. And it just operates on a different scale than the likes of Zara and H&M. It reportedly pumps out something on the order of 6,000 new items a day, with turnaround times from initial design to production of, you know, as little as 2 weeks. And everything is, of course, much, much cheaper than what you can get from Zara or H&M. You can buy several outfits from Shein for the price of one piece from one of those brands. And it also doesn't have stores, so it just ships direct to consumer from China to more than 150 countries. I came across a report from Wired from a few months ago that cited a professor at the University of Delaware, Sheng Lu, and this professor found that in a 12-month period, by way of comparison, the Gap had approximately 12,000 items on its website. H&M and Zara had in the 25,000 to 35,000 range, and Shein had a staggering 1.3 million items.
Wow. That's a lot of items. It's interesting you bring up Shein not having stores, because there was a Wall Street Journal article that came out a couple of weeks ago that mentioned like Shein pop-up events. The same Wall Street Journal article also mentioned that Shein is introducing or building several distribution centers in the U.S. I know that one of the issues with Shein is that delivery time is like can be as high as like 15 days for items to come over from China. How will opening distribution centers in the U.S. change that?
So I think that's the only area where Shein isn't very fast has been in the shipping. And that's because it's coming direct from China. So even though we know that consumers in the U.S. highly value fast and free shipping, they're also willing to wait for very low cost goods. And I think if Shein wants to expand into more premium offerings, for example, with higher price lines, it's going to have to get them to consumers faster, because you're not going to wait for fancy clothes for 2 weeks or so. And so they already have a distribution center in Indiana, which they're expanding, and they're planning to open at least two more in the near future. But I see one of the challenges of having distribution centers in the U.S. is that this could subject their goods to import duties. Right now, they can enjoy an exemption on most of what they send to the U.S. because packages from direct-to-consumer companies, if the value is less than $800, there's no import tax on it. So that helps to keep the cost down.
I want to pivot into more of the culture around Shein, because it feels to me like a phenomenon. Jasmine, I'm looking to you for this one. What has the role of social media and particularly TikTok been in Shein's rise?
Well, in many ways, Shein and TikTok have kind of grown hand in hand in the US, and they're sort of a perfect fit. Both of these companies really thrive off of many of the things that make Gen Z tick, and that's FOMO, or the fear of missing out, trending content and items, and this desire to share it with an audience. And Shein's marketing strategy, pretty much from the very beginning, was also centered around TikTok creators who would film product hauls with the hashtag Shein Haul and show off the products as well as their incredibly low prices. And product hauls have now really become a common strategy among a lot of Gen Z focused brands from many different industries.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that Gen Z buys Shein so much. Clearly, they're Shein's target demographic. But Gen Z also is notoriously sustainability focused. And we've talked before in the podcast about how big thrifting or circular retail is for Gen Z. At the same time, these same TikTok creators or Gen Z people on TikTok you see showing off their thrift hauls, you see them in the next video showing off their Shein hauls. Where is the disconnect there? Or is there a disconnect there?
So you're absolutely right. Gen Z is sustainability focused, and they're also really environmentally conscious. But at the same time, when it comes to Gen Z's shopping habits, they're actually a lot more similar to other generations than many people would expect. We actually just finished some research on social commerce shopping habits in particular, and we found that deals and discounts were one of the top three drivers of social purchases among Gen Z, just like everybody else. And for so many of them, it's possible that Shein is just too good of a deal to resist.
Yeah, I also think it's interesting you brought up that fear of missing out. I mean, did Shein introduce the micro trend? Did the concept of the micro trend exist before Shein?
I think it goes hand in hand with the rise of TikTok, and they kind of can feed into each other. So you have these micro trends emerging on TikTok, and Shein is so well positioned to really monetize them by creating products that then the adherents of that trend can purchase.
Yeah. If someone on TikTok says that wearing a shirt with buttons all over it is the trend now, Shein can make that shirt like tomorrow, right?
Pretty much. They'll make very small batches to start out. Like they can produce as little as, say, a couple dozen items of a particular SKU. And then if it sells, they'll just produce some more. So they have a name for this. They call this large-scale automated test and reorder, or the later model. Mm-hmm. And they can use that just to figure out what's trending, what's going to sell. They can stop production or not keep producing anything that doesn't sell, and then just keep going with the trending and popular items.
It's so similar to TikTok's entire thing being their algorithm being so effective, right? Like Shein having this entire model around trying things out and sticking with things if they work, doing it in such a streamlined way. This is kind of bleak also because of the sustainability impact and also just the pressure to keep up with trends. I am wondering if Shein has any potential rivals in the US or in China.
I don't really see any because it's become such a huge brand and so extensive in its reach. At one point last year, it topped Amazon as the most downloaded app in the US for a given month. So that's kind of the scale it's been operating on. Chinese e-commerce platform Alibaba has the AliExpress marketplace, which operates internationally, but there's not really the same kind of brand or sense of discovery that goes with using AliExpress. It's more like purely transactional when you have to find a cheap good. There's another VC-backed fashion startup called Cider out of China that is promoting a slightly more upscale image than Shein with slightly more expensive products. But again, that won't get the reach of the super cheap products. And recently, Chinese group buying social commerce app Pinduoduo launched a Temu marketplace in the US, which was reported to be trying to make a play for Shein's market. But I downloaded the app, I looked at it, and it just looked like a whole hodgepodge of really cheap, trendy items, but not quite the focus on fashion that Shein has.
Yeah, I feel like shopping on Amazon is sort of like wading through like a really messy closet versus like I have not used the Shein app or shopped on Shein, but it reminds me of this like thrill of the find that's similar to thrifting. There's more of like a joy probably associated with looking in like one consolidated place and hoping to find that item that's going to be produced 50 times that you have that no one else has.
Right. It's a little more curated. You can see the new arrivals. You can, you know, just scroll through. I started looking through it today and I had to pull back to like not buy any of their Halloween clothes because I really like things with pumpkins or spider webs on them. And that season is coming up. So I had to resist and tear my eyes away from all the coupons, 50% off or extra 20% off when you sign up that are kind of there to lure you in and buy more.
Have you ever bought anything on Shein?
I have not. I came close earlier this year because I was looking for shorts for my daughter, who's 5, so she's growing quickly. Mm-hmm. And everything I found was sets of shorts and a top. And I didn't want more than what I already don't really need. So I resisted.
Have you, Jasmine?
I haven't. I actually went on the app for the first time today as I was preparing for this podcast. But I will tell you, I mean, I was sucked in. There's a lot of stuff on there and it is, you know, displayed in a way that just makes you want to keep looking.
Yeah, I also have not. I've said on the pod before, I really try to avoid fast fashion, but the prices on there are, I want to say, sickening in an impressive way and in a little bit of a bleak way as well. They're really quite wild how low they are. Okay, we have talked through in this first half where Shein came from. The answer was China. Where it's headed, the answer is everywhere and faster and with wider offerings. In the second half, Sky and Jasmine will serve us some spicy predictions for Shein's future. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, CJ. Just as the affiliate industry is continuously adapting and growing, so is the CJ platform. CJ is consistently releasing new technology, solutions, and enhancements to meet your evolving business needs. Learn more about CJ's approach to releasing cutting-edge technology designed to streamline your workflows and get to know CJ's innovation at www.cj.com/emarketer/innovation. Welcome back from the break. It's time for one of our newer segments, Red Hot Retail. This is our guests' opportunity to give us their very specific and potentially risky predictions on a topic. The predictions can be mild, medium, spicy, or extra hot. Mild predictions are plausible outlooks where you just need a sip of water for the spice level. Extra hot predictions are our pie-in-the-sky predictions, a wild card still in the realm of possibility that's so spicy you need to drink a whole glass of milk. The higher the spice level, the riskier the prediction. Our guests will tell me what spice level to expect and then share the prediction. Today's predictions answer the question, what will be the future of Shein? Sky, why don't you start us off? What's your spice level? What's your prediction?
Sure, I'll lead off with a spicy prediction, and that's that Shein will not IPO, at least not in the U.S. There's been talk of a Shein IPO for some time now. It's been pushed back reportedly to 2024, which is 2 years, and 2 years is a long time. Shein does have venture investment, and it was valued as high as $100 billion early this year, according to reports. And then with the e-commerce downturn, there's been some pressure pushing that valuation down to maybe $70 billion, which is really huge for a Chinese fashion company. This year, the environment for IPOs in the U.S. is just not good for anyone. And the regulatory environment from both the Chinese and U.S. perspective for a Chinese company to IPO in the U.S. has been terrible. The SEC has been pushing for a long time to get more access to financial data, which China can treat as a state secret. And last year, China cracked down hard on tech companies listing overseas. And I would be very surprised because Shein is such a secretive company. They don't release any information about their sales. Their founder and CEO, Chris Hsu, does not give interviews. I would be very surprised to see the company suddenly open itself up to so much public scrutiny. And I would also be surprised to see Chinese authorities approve an IPO of such a big Chinese company overseas. I think Hong Kong might be a better bet eventually if it does decide it's going to even release enough information to list publicly there.
Okay, so this one seems, I'm going to call this one medium spicy is my feeling on this. What, is that wrong?
I was going to say she just took down the spice level from this guy.
I mean, maybe it's because you made such a good argument, but I all the things you're saying, like a Chinese multi-billion dollar company, hundred of billion dollar company, I get why they wouldn't necessarily want to IPO in the United States. That said, I'm not an IPO expert at all. But what I will say about this is you talking about Shein being such a secretive company, it's reminiscent of TikTok once again.
Another company that I don't think will IPO in the U.S.
Sure. Seems unlikely TikTok will IPO in the U.S. I'm going to call that one mild. All right, Jasmine, at risk of me bringing down or up your spice level, what is your spice level? What is your prediction?
The spice level is mild, and I think you might agree with this one. And the prediction is that Shein will pivot to selling relatively higher-end goods and move into new industries. We know that Shein already has a premium line, which offers somewhat higher quality goods at still very accessible price points. But expanding further into premium goods could really help it broaden its audience outside of Gen Z. And there's precedent for this. If it expands into premium goods as well as other industries, it would really be following in the footsteps of other fast fashion brands like H&M, which has an H&M Studio premium line, as well as H&M Home.
Yeah, putting my analyst hat on for this, I completely agree with you. I think one of the reasons that Shein is opening distribution centers in the U.S. is to get their shipping times up, and that's going to help them make prices more expensive and potentially sell higher quality goods. So I would say this one is mild, but a really smart bet. All right, Sky, give me another spice level, another prediction.
Okay, so my next prediction is in a similar vein of which direction Shein will go next, but it's a little more medium spicy.
Okay.
And this is that Sheehan would introduce the concept of more personalized on-demand manufacturing directly to consumers who are seeking highly customized goods. This was a trend that was emerging in China pre-pandemic, led by some of the big retail and e-commerce giants. And I think a combination of COVID and crackdown on these big tech retail companies like Alibaba and JD.com has stalled its progress somewhat. But the thinking is that you can start to offer consumers the ability to choose what they want to produce on demand. So it's like super hyper personalized, and to do it at a low cost and to do it very quickly. And that would allow people to decide what trends they want, what products they want in specific colors or sizes. And I think this is something that they, if any company, is going to be best positioned to do.
What sets super personalized products, that on-demand manufacturing, what sets that apart from just a company with a wide range of options?
Well, when things right now with Shein, when things go out of stock, you probably can't get them again because they're producing in such limited quantities. But if you could say, oh, here's the vast catalog of everything we've ever made, and here you can click a button and pay for it and get it made and shipped to you within the 2-week turnaround, that would be pretty revolutionary.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty spicy because, I mean, right now, on-demand fashion takes a really long time. A lot of that, we call it slow fashion, right? Like, this wouldn't necessarily be slow fashion, though. This would be on-demand fast fashion. So I think it would really blur the lines between what we think of as slow and fast fashion. And I also think it would change expectations of consumers for what a retailer should bring them. Our expectations have changed a lot with e-commerce. We think that our things should arrive within 2 days now. It would be pretty wild in the future to also think our things should arrive within 2 days and also be a crop top with our own faces on them.
Yeah, I think the shipping time might take a little longer, and it's something, but I think Shein has proven that longer shipping time is something consumers are willing to wait for if the price is right. So if the product is right, they might also be willing to wait for it.
All right. On that medium to spicy, medium to hot note, Jasmine, take us home with our last prediction, our spice level and our last prediction.
So spice level is medium for this one. And the prediction is that Shein will face an environmental reckoning from regulators. And that's because even if Gen Z is able to overlook some of these environmental concerns, we're already seeing signs that regulators may not be convinced. Shein has said that it's cleaning up its act, but the reality is that its business model just really isn't sustainable. And we've seen that the EU has already started to crack down on fast fashion brands that are misleading consumers by greenwashing. And New York State is also considering fashion sustainability legislation.
This is a loaded question. Are regulators in the EU and US cracking down because of sustainability reasons or because of the threat of a Chinese mega company?
They wouldn't just be targeting Shein. They're targeting all of the fast fashion companies. Everyone from Gucci and Louis Vuitton down to Shein would have to abide by these new rules should they come into effect.
Gotcha.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not one specific company, but it's certainly going to come under fire for a lot of these crackdowns.
Understood. That makes sense. That is all we have time for today. Thank you for these predictions. Although no one brought any super hot and spicy predictions like Shein getting into fast food or anything wild like that. But thank you for joining me today, Sky.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be here.
And thank you, Jasmine. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And thank
you.
I want to hear what you, our listeners, think of our podcast. So please give us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And once again, I am plugging the gram. We are on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. So give us a follow. Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast, and to Victoria's dog, Chester, who also edits the podcast. I think that's how it works. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by CJ. And tomorrow you can join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily.